Welcome to Flip the Script, a mental health podcast. I'm your host, Jana Cohn. Whether you know the darkness of depression yourself or have supported someone in their pain, you've come to the right place. My mission is to empower you to take control of your mental health because nothing else in this entire world matters more. If you're listening in the midst of depression right now, I hope this show gives you assurance that you are not alone and that life doesn't have to be so hard. But you must first desire to feel better and get better. This podcast is a step in the right direction. If you're listening because you're walking alongside someone dealing with depression, thank you. You can always find me on Instagram at jana.cohn and be sure you're subscribed to my email list in the show notes so you never miss an episode. Together, we can flip the script on mental health. Enjoy. Today, I have another guest episode for you, Lindsay Hyatt, a copywriter and reprogramming coach. Before I sat down with Lindsay for this recording, I had an idea of what a reprogramming coach meant, but after this conversation, it is very clear exactly why Lindsay identifies with that title, and I think it is clear she is made for it. But before we dive into this episode, I have to let you know, it seems like in editing this podcast that my microphone was on the fritz during this recording. So please forgive me. As you know, we are always a work in progress over here, but I was not going to let that stop bringing this conversation to you. The most important person here, though, our guest, Lindsay, her microphone was certainly functioning on all cylinders, and she sounds like a dream. So that is the most important part of the episode. And as always, you will find Lindsay's information in the show notes, and I know this episode will serve many of you well. Enjoy. Lindsay, I am thrilled to have you on as a guest of Flip the Script. I am thankful to Instagram for connecting us. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored.
So you all are in for a treat today. Lindsay has quite a story and experience in life to share with you. She lives in Buffalo, New York. She is married and has two children. How old are your kids now?
My daughters are 2 and 6, and they're actually about to turn 3 and 7. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, I know a lot of people listening are going to resonate with this path that you have been on really the past several years. We were just talking before we started recording that her almost 3-year-old is truly a pandemic baby, right? Yes. I mean, you had the baby and had some other things happen in your life at the same time.
That's right. Yeah. She was born 2 weeks before the world shut down, and that was because I was induced. Her due date was the day that the world shut down. So I'm grateful that she came early.
Wow. Wow. And you're at the same time, around the same time, your husband lost his job unexpectedly, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Pandemic life, you know, so those early days, we all were just hanging by a thread of not knowing what to expect next. And he was, he actually works in the airline industry, at a company that makes parts for airplanes. So as you know, there was no airline industry for a good year at least. So he didn't know if he'd ever get his job back, but he did lose it, in those first weeks.
Wow. Wow.
So before we kind of get into what birthed in you throughout, you know, the past several years, I know by trade you are a copywriter. And I think because I love to write, I've always known, okay, what is a copywriter? What does it mean to write copy? But I realized that a lot of people, I was just having a conversation with my boyfriend before I got onto this podcast, and I was telling him, I'm interviewing, you know, my friend Lindsay today. She's a copywriter. And he said, well, I don't even know what that is. What does that mean? So I know he cannot be alone.
No.
So explain, just from a professional standpoint, copywriting and what you do. Tell us a little bit how you got into that aspect of your work.
Sure. So he is not alone. There are people in my life who really don't know what I do. And, you know, it's often confused with copywriting, as in, you know, more law on the law end. Copywriting, which is a form of writing, is, in short, it's marketing writing, advertising writing. So, you know, if you go back and watch an episode of Mad Men, just a little plug for Mad Men, there's copywriters that write the words for advertisements. And that's, you know, a short way of putting what copywriting is. So I have been a copywriter for more than 15 years, and I have done that in and out of the corporate world in different forms in different industries. And at the heart of everything I've ever done in marketing, it's always been writing for me. So I have the pleasure of, and we'll probably get to this in our conversation, of launching my business in 2021. So I became a copywriter full-time from working for myself. And it's been so wonderful because I get to work directly with clients in fields that I'm interested in, including health and wellness, parenting. And so I help people write their content and their copy for digital platforms, even physical platforms like, you know, brochures and mailing lists and all kinds of things like that. So especially in the last couple of years, my work has really centered in the digital mediums, emails, website copy, social media captions, and things of that nature.
Yeah. So interesting to me. And I really love that, because in this day and age of the digital social media world, everything you put out has to be captured in some form in words, even though the trends are, you know, lending itself to more short form content like reels and whatever. You still have to have those hooks. You still have to have those pain points that you talk about, and you still have to get it across in a concise, effective way. And so I think it's just so interesting that you're able to do that, you know, effectively and for other people. And you have your own I don't know if newsletter is the right word, but it's Confessions of a Copywriter, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's my weekly newsletter. And it's all the fun stuff behind the scenes of being a copywriter. And by fun, I mean gossip.
Juicy.
Yeah, juicy. I want to keep it fun and juicy. So I think a lot of people coming up, especially I think of the younger generations of professional women that are coming up, I think that we have not shared a lot of what goes on, like in real life at a job, in the corporate world especially. And some of the things that I went through, looking back, I cannot believe these things happened. You know, even as early back as my first days as a copywriter for radio, it was a boys' club. And I just was little old, you know, freshly out of college, me, like, just, yes, you can make a comment about my skirt. Yes. You know, it was so fun. And that was in the early 2000s. So it's not like decades ago where you'd expect that kind of thing. So this is kind of my outlet to share those stories with people.
Wow. Wow. I bet you have some interesting juice to share.
I do not hold back. I do not hold back.
Yeah. And of course, I will link all of that in the show notes. But really, what I wanted to get into with you today here is you have taken this season of survival mode and you have repurposed it. And I think repurposing is a good word for it, to find the happy in it. And a lot of times that requires defining a totally new norm and changing our thought patterns and our habits and what we do day to day. And what does satisfaction look like? What does abundance look like? What does being present with your family look like? What does a healthy relationship with your spouse look like? You have done such an incredible job in documenting that, sharing it as you've gone through it in real time. And what I think is brilliant on your Instagram, you have even titled yourself a reprogramming coach. And I think that's brilliant because that is what you have had to do. And to be able to put context around what that has looked like, I think can help so many women. And so talk to us and tell us a little bit about what that whole process has looked like for you, kind of where you found yourself, what you did about it, and where you are now as a result of it all.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to bringing to mentioning that moms really have been dealt some tricky cards during this whole time. And I think that as time passes, it's being talked about less and less, but the moms that I know in my life or even in my larger circle, in my online communities, here locally in Buffalo, we are still struggling because the pandemic is over for a lot of people, but for us, we're still living it in the day-to-day life of our kids are sick all of the time, mm-hmm. which, throws off the schedule for our businesses and our work and even our home routines. So that's something I talk about a lot with women who are mothers or caregivers, about how it doesn't feel over for us. It feels like we're still trying to get out of it. So thanks for mentioning that. But what I found was, of course, in those early days, for me personally, I had a newborn, I had a preschooler at home, my husband without a job, and in the early days, I was so thankful that we were all home and safe and not worrying about things that other people had to worry about. There's no escape. And so you kind of get into this pattern of survival mode, which is let's just get through the day. Let's try to make it as pleasant as possible. Make sure everybody's healthy and safe and fed and entertained and educated and all of these things that fell on us during those first 2 years of pandemic life. And eventually, I didn't realize I had just gotten into this mode of almost like a zombie of just getting up. My kids would wake me up. I would go through the motions with them. And I realized I felt numb. I felt numb to almost everything. And these things that I love so much, my family, and even hobbies that I had kind of put to the side because we were living through this, like singing is something that I love to do. All of that got put aside to just get through the day, get through the day, get through the day over and over again. So I actually remember sitting on the couch one night with my husband and doing, what I started to, my coping skills showed me during the pandemic was I would lean on alcohol and food to comfort me or numb out or whatever. And, we're sitting in front of whatever Netflix thing. And I realize I'm doing this every night and I go to bed too late. And then I get up when my kids wake me up. There's no time for me and I cannot escape this. There's nowhere to go. Your little kids need constant attention. So you have to be on all day long with them. And I realize I'm doing this day in and day out. And it took me some time to see that. So I actually said to my husband one night, I think I need to reprogram my entire life. And of course, that's a large statement and pretty overwhelming too, to think about it like that. But that word reprogramming kept coming back to me because I had allowed myself to fall into this conditioning of these patterns and habits that were, you know, maybe appropriate for that time in the early days of the pandemic where we're all just kind of getting through and I'm caring for this little baby and all of that. But 2 years after that, I had just started doing, you know, living this non-life and realizing what an impact it had made on my mental health, my husband's mental health, and even my kids. That was when the light turned on for me that I had to start to do things differently. And that's when I started to get really curious about how can I make these little shifts? And they have to be little, right? Because as much as I am a type A control freak person and I want to scrap everything and start with a clean whiteboard and here's my new beautiful life where I'm doing all the right things and I feel great again and all of these things, it's not that simple. So for me, I started small with my mornings because I knew that's the only time I'm alone. That's the only time I can take space for myself to not jump into my day with a crying baby or whatever. You know, that's not great for your nervous system every single day to be awoken by someone needing something from you. So I started to make this time in the morning to do whatever I wanted. I didn't say, oh, you got to get up and work out. Oh, you have to get up and meditate. Like, I didn't put rules on it. I just said 1 hour or a half an hour in the morning, do what you want. Have a hot cup of coffee. I had to make it enjoyable for myself. And that's when I started to build small habits and routines that would start to make me feel alive again. So that's kind of where reprogramming came from.
So, so much that I'm going to ask about within that. One, gosh, I think every person listening can relate to some vice that's their go-to to zone out, to disassociate. And I think that some of that at some point in time is okay and helpful, but when it becomes an everyday occurrence, that is when it can be destructive. But the fact that you realized it, and for you, it was, you know, drinking or, you know, overeating. Everyone has a vice. Mm. So when you realized that and you said to your husband, I think I need to reprogram my life. What was his reaction? Because women and men are so different. They process differently. How was his reaction to that?
My husband and I are very different. He's very used to me making these grand speeches of "I'm changing my life tomorrow." He's very used to that. We've been together for like 18 years now, and he is very much more laid back than me. So he is so supportive of like whatever my thing is. And he's like, yeah, like he absolutely agreed. Like, we had gotten into these patterns of just kind of existing, and he's kind of on his own path too. Side note, during the pandemic, like as if we couldn't be dealing with other things, he was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis and Hashimoto's disease. So he has his own kind of health journey that he's on top of just getting through life. So he said, yeah, absolutely. But he was also quick to warn me, like, don't feel like you have to do everything. Like, don't think you're going to wake up tomorrow and suddenly your life is different. He's very much, he brings me back to earth sometimes because I have these great, you know, I'm going to manifest this and it's going to be, because I just like to have things done now. Like, I'm a fixer. So he's so supportive, but he also grounds me in saying, like, let's do one thing at a time. So he's always good about that.
So he sounds like he's the realist.
Yeah, he's the logic. Yeah.
I have the same situation. And what you said, which I think is really powerful and easy to overlook, would be starting small. Because when we want a full overhaul, a full reprogram, we want it to be done A to Z. And in the end, you might reprogram A to Z, but you first have to reprogram A before you can get to Z. And I think that that is really powerful in knowing, hey, I'm going to start with my mornings. And what I love and that I really resonate with is that you put no parameters around, okay, I'm going to wake up at 4:30 and I'm going to journal and I'm going to drink my green juice and my coffee, and then I'm going to get in a workout all before 7 a.m. And to some people, that is their cup of tea, and more power to them. But I love how you said, I'm going to start small, start with my morning routine, and I'm going to do whatever feels good to me, whatever my body needs, whatever feels fun and exciting. There is, I feel like there's such a misconception that you have to get up early and take a cold shower and work out before you do anything, because that's how the successful people begin their days. And for me, I would rather claw my eyes out than get up and work out first thing in the morning. Like, I just, I love that you allowed whatever came up for you to be the right thing for you to do.
So,
and did it look different for you?
It did. And I had a realization early, as somebody who's always wanted to be that person that's up at 4:30 and works out and has the green juice. I mean, because we all kind of, to some extent, want to be that person. But I knew that it, for me, it wasn't about some kind of like goal, or it was really about finding a moment for myself to feel good. So I realized early on, this has to be something I enjoy. And something from the beyond whispered to me one day. They said, I was like, wow, this really changed my perspective. How can I make my morning beautiful? How can I make a beautiful morning for myself? That was the exact way it came to me. And for me, it started as get out of bed, have your coffee brewing, waiting for you, have a beautiful mug, like, you know, have a travel mug or, you know, a beautiful mug. And I didn't do anything special. I sat on my couch. I have a small house. There's not many places to escape to, with a blanket, and I watched the sunrise with my coffee. And as I began to crave that, it evolved naturally into, I would put my AirPods in, meditation music. It would transport me as the sun was rising. And then I'd journal, and it just really took its own, I didn't set that as my goal to, I have to journal every morning. Like, that's just what happened. So it was really cool to see the natural, you know, evolving of this new thing I was doing for myself. And soon I truly did crave it. I would get myself up because that was my favorite part of the day for a while. So it was really, really impactful for me.
Yeah. So it started off, the goal was, one, to make, you know, your mornings more beautiful, but it gave you time to do whatever you needed, yep. Whether you are a mom, whether you are a wife, whether you are a single girl in your 20s, whether you are an empty nester in your 40s and 50s. it can have no bounds or no limits. If your ultimate goal is to do whatever in that time period that makes you feel better, period. And seeing how that natural evolution flows. Because I also think that is the sticking point to doing something that becomes routine. Because if you are doing something that you have to make yourself do every day,
it's not going
to
happen.
You are going to find the first excuse not to do it. So it had to be something that you enjoyed. Just like you said, you started wanting to get up and get your day started.
Yeah. And
I think that's so important. And that definitely speaks to me, because as someone who suffers with depression, it definitely comes in waves. And the past month or so, and I think it has something to do with the weather this time of year. And mm-hmm. I'm in South Carolina, so I can only imagine how it is for you in Buffalo, New York. But there have been days that I have woken up and I have thought, the last thing I want to do is get out of bed. And, even I love my coffee, but just making an experience, if you will, out of the first thing you do when your feet hit the floor. And there comes that practice of embodiment that probably later just revealed itself to you. You didn't know what you were subconsciously doing by getting up and getting into that practice that became a routine for you. But it has, that is embodiment for this higher version of yourself. I think
that's true.
So powerful.
Yeah. And it almost became, it was funny to use this word, because we associate the word pleasure with, very luxurious experiences or sexual or something like that. Yeah. But I learned that pursuing pleasure for me, like you said, if I'm pursuing this thing because it brings me pleasure, I was coming from a place where I was feeling nothing. So to have this moment of pleasure in the morning, doing whatever it was I felt I needed that day, really set my day in a much brighter place than it was for so long. So yeah, it was a revelation.
And I imagine too, the example that sets for your children as they get older to see and to know, hey, mom gets up early in the mornings and she has her time. To know that you put yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
Because as cliche as it is, you have to secure your oxygen mask before securing another.
And I was not taught that. I have a wonderful mother, a wonderful father. I had a great childhood. I'm so blessed. But my mom was a stay-at-home mom. Her whole life was us, and to her detriment. She was not putting her own mask on first. So I'm learning this as a 38-year-old woman, how to do this for myself. So like you said, I have two daughters, and I feel immense pressure to show them what self-care and self-love looks like. So I'm learning as I go, but it is so, so important to me to show them why it's important and that it's not selfish.
Right, right. So you started small. You started with your morning routine. How did things progress from there in your journey of reprogramming?
It's messy. It's messy action. And even as we sit here today, February 2023, I am still figuring it out. I actually had a bit of what I'd call a little setback, especially in the last couple of months, that I have struggled with making that space for myself in the morning. But I know it's funny how quick you can get back into it. So during this time, in like the last year and a half, when I've worked on making that time for myself, it has turned into a meditation practice. As a writer, journaling has been so monumental for me because when I have that quiet time in the morning or at night, that's when I feel the most creative and I get downloads and, you know, ideas on things. So that has made such a difference in my business. So, you know, and then of course in my relationships with my friends, with my family, with my husband, making that space for myself has allowed me to have extra space for everything else and be more open to receiving, you know, ideas for my business or realizing how important it is for me to make the time to go on a date with my husband because, you know, we're living this life with little kids and it's a phase. And I'm sure someday we'll miss it, but it's a lot. So when I didn't have that space created, I wasn't even seeing that. I wasn't seeing like, wow, I really need to prioritize these things that are important to me. Or even being another thing that has been a common thread for me during this time is really working on presence with my kids because as somebody who works from home, I felt like I was always trying to, you know, juggle some kind of work thing with what they need and I'm making dinner. And I never felt, I started to find myself just not being present with them. They're trying to get me to play with them, but I'm trying to send an email, you know. And so creating those boundaries of this is time that I am with my family has been big for me. And again, created from that space of taking that time for myself first to have these moments of realization and the opportunity to ask myself what is important to me. And being a present mom is important to me. So that's, you know, and it's something I'm always working on. Just this week, I just said to my husband today, I'm like, this two-year-old thing. My toddler's had a rough time and we have had a rough time with her and it is tiring. And so, you know, navigating the different chapters of as they grow up and what we're doing, wherever you can put yourself first to take care of yourself, it's going to show up for you later and in even in different situations. And on the business front, something I really am passionate about is telling women that you can have strategies, you can have coaches, you can have, you know, education, a degree, a certificate, whatever, but nothing is sustainable if you are not taking care of yourself. And that has been what I have learned, the common thread through all of this, through business, through your relationships, through life, is that if you are not taking care of yourself, none of it matters because you can't sustain.
Yeah. That is so true. Mm-hmm. And I have said that similarly before of nothing else in this entire world matters if you do not have your mental health is the word that I go to because of my journey. But it's the same thing, mental health, self-care. It's all the same. Mm-hmm. Nothing. That's like the foundation. That is your foundation. Whatever you're trying to do outside of taking care of yourself, your mental health, you know, self-care, it's like putting a Band-Aid on the boo-boo. You know, you have to deal with that first. It's foundation. And there isn't a thing that, whether it's a material possession or an extra course or a program or a certification, there isn't a thing that is going to take care of that issue. You have to deal with that first in order for everything else to flow. In my opinion, I wholeheartedly believe that.
Yeah. And I think that for a lot of people, it's easier to go get that next program or easier to hire a new coach because it's really hard work to do the foundational stuff that you mentioned. It's uncomfortable. And And it is exhausting. But like you said, when you can process that, you're building on that foundation and so much stronger.
Yeah. And two, this just occurred to me as we were talking, you know, in your circumstance, you said, I'm going to start this in the morning. But it doesn't have to be a morning thing. If that doesn't work for someone, it can be their nighttime routine of they take a bath and then they have an hour to themselves after the kids are down. You know, their partner is busy doing something else. That is their non-negotiable me time, whatever that looks like.
Yes.
Whatever it looks like.
Yeah. And I think if you base it in what brings me joy, what makes me feel good, and guess what? That also could be watching your favorite show on Netflix.
Yes.
You know, and because I even gave myself that permission. If you want to get up early and watch The Crown, like, girl, you do that. Like, you know, no interruptions, whatever the thing is, and there's no right or wrong answer, and it may change from day to day. So I learned that this amazing experience I had last year in the spring and the summer and the weather's beautiful, that hit an abrupt wall in the fall when we lost the daylight and things got nasty outside. And I had to start to approach it like, okay, my body needs more rest right now. Like, that's just how it is. I can fight it or I can embrace it and find other places in my day to take back that time for myself. So I've had to get creative and I've had to, you know, every time I think, oh, I found it, you never find it. It's always going to change. And I think if you can accept that and warm up to just being gracious with yourself, that it can look different each week. It can look different in every season. Just always being on the lookout for where can I carve that time? Is it at night? Is it a beautiful walk during lunchtime? Like, it can be different every day. So I think giving yourself that permission is important too.
Yeah. Yeah. So after someone starts small, whether it's a morning routine that they create or an evening reset, whatever it is, do you then take a look at different areas of your life, like looking into your work? Is it fulfilling? Mm-hmm. Are you excited about it? Or are you going to a job every day that you cannot stand? Or if you're working from home doing something that you're just not passionate about anymore, like, do you look into every category of your life? Because that's essentially what you would have to do to, you know, reprogram. Mm-hmm. What, you know, I know that you teach people how to do this, but what's the next step that someone would go about to figuring out, you know, how to essentially find themselves again?
Once I had that space, I was fortunate that during this crazy, crazy time of the pandemic, one of the bright spots for me was that I started my own business. And long before the pandemic, it was something I always dreamt of and just didn't think it would be possible for me. I started to get inspired during this time by listening to podcasts and, you know, seeing other normal people like myself have success outside of what we have been conditioned to think is normal. You go to a job, 9 to 5, you sit in your cubicle, you beg for a day off because you can have to go to the doctor. I mean, it always felt off to me. So fast forward to the pandemic. And during this time, that was one of the things that was always in my mind, was that I never felt satisfied in what I was doing in my professional life. And I thought that said something about me. I thought, well, I'm an entitled millennial. Sorry, just me and my avocado toast. Like, you know, I came from a family. I didn't come from a family of entrepreneurs. I didn't know that that was a possibility. I felt bad because I couldn't go somewhere and stay there for 10 years. Like, I thought something was wrong with me. So yeah. I realized once I had because my husband had lost his job, I started freelancing on the side of my regular job, which I was working from home after I was done with maternity leave. It made me realize, like, this is possible. Like, I can match my salary, if nothing else. I can match my salary by doing this work that I love. And just by doing that freelance, that brought writing back into my life, you know, on a more regular basis, I felt myself come alive. And so for me, it was kind of examining the main parts of my life. So of course, my career was a big one. Family and marriage, two other really important parts of my life.
Yeah.
And even now, friendships, my networking, that all really took a back seat because we're stuck at home and, you know, we're Zooming and all of that. I have made it a priority this year to get myself out of this house and see people again more in real life, because I didn't realize what an effect it was having on me soul deep, like not seeing people and not living my life outside of this house. So even now, 3 years later, I'm still figuring out, like, oh, wow, this really had more of an impact on me than I thought. Like, at first, I was just like thrilled to be working from home. And look, I can get my daughter on the bus every day. Like, I'm so lucky. And I still feel that way. But also, I didn't realize how being isolated has really had an effect on me. So I have kind of like these little pillars of my life that I'm kind of always examining to see, like, what can we do here? Like, to, you know, maybe my husband and I have to schedule a weekly, you know, connection time because we're busy and we're tired. And by the time we get to the end, there's always excuses. But how can we do one small thing in this pillar of marriage to improve our relationship? Maybe we make a meal together once a week, just have fun. Maybe we play a board game. I mean, silly stuff. But as a writer, I like to have these kind of lists of the parts of my life that mean the most to me. And journaling really helps me think about, you know, what's missing for me here? What can I improve on? And also, what do I not have control over? Because that's another issue for me as somebody who likes to control things. I have learned a lot in these last couple years about what control I really have, which is not a lot in some instances. Yeah. So what can I control has been a big question that I ask myself a lot.
And I think too, on the control front, being realistic about your life right now, where it is, and looking at those different categories, you know, those pillars, those buckets of, you know, your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your spouse, your friendships, your work, looking at it not from this is what I want it to be and it's 1,000 miles away, but what can you do? A tiny shift, a tiny behavior change, a conscious effort in each category. What can you do to make it a little bit better? Because your current reality is your current reality right now, and you can have big far off vision of what you would like it to be, but you also can make adjustments and changes right there with what you have at the time being. And one thing that comes to mind for me that I'm passionate about is women and their work. There is such an opportunity, regardless of, I mean, the sky is the limit. Like, there is such an opportunity for women to be entrepreneurs this day and age. And there's this perception, I think, that, well, if I'm going to be an entrepreneur, whatever avenue I'm going to be an entrepreneur in, I need to not claim myself as an entrepreneur until I've officially made it in that realm. Women can start a business doing anything. Mm-hmm. It is incredible. And I feel like there's such a a lack of that in our society, that if women, I don't care if you have another full-time job or if you are a stay-at-home mom, there is something that you are passionate about and good at that you can take and build a business from. Like you, you love to write and you were doing it in the corporate world, but thought, I bet I could do this for people on the side, you know, freelancing, that sort of thing. For me, my battles with depression and mental health was never a thing that I thought, hey, that could bubble up some entrepreneurial spirit in me.
Right.
So then here we have the birth of this podcast. It doesn't have to be some huge thing that you come out the gate with of, oh my gosh, now I'm a, you know, six-figure entrepreneur based on this business that I created. You can start small and find pockets within your passion that you can build a business on. It's really amazing if you think about it, how we have that power. It just takes a little shift within whatever we're currently doing.
Yeah, I so agree with that. And especially like you mentioned, you know, the accessing that type of idea. I think it's hard for women, especially because we come from a really, you know, traditional, especially in the United States, we come from still that really traditional background of like, sure, you work full time, maybe you do work full time, but you know, you're also going to run the house, you're also going to run the kids, you're also going to do all this. And we aren't, unless it's been a part of our life before, to see somebody that we know or somebody just living normal life being able to do this, we don't even know. Many women don't know the potential of what they can choose for their lives. And that you and I are the same is in the way that we want to we want to show more women what is possible with their life. And you know, it doesn't start from I have a 6 and 7 figure business. Like it starts from where you are right now.
Yes.
And so I think that's really an important message to get out that I am super passionate about. Just showing more women what's possible and what really fulfills them. Because the other thing I hope that we all learned during these last couple of years is that life is short and wild. Like anything could happen at any time to anyone. Yes. And if we're not doing what we love in some aspect, whether even if it's a hobby, then like, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
Yeah. Like, where are the pockets of joy in your
life? Yes. I love that. Pockets of joy. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Because that's what it's all about when it comes to reprogramming your life. Is you are consciously creating more pockets of joy, whatever that looks like.
Yes.
Whatever it looks like, wherever That's you are.
Perfectly said. Because life can be hard. And I'm learning still that even when things are hard, I have to make that choice to look for the pockets of joy. And sometimes it's, you know, a hot cup of coffee, or my 2-year-old said something really, really cute and funny yesterday, or, you know, little things. And sometimes it's like, wow, I'm on this vacation that I worked hard for. Look at how beautiful, you know, it is. And just being aware of those moments and being allowing yourself to give yourself the space to have to be aware of it. Because when we're bogged down and we're not putting emphasis on finding those pockets of joy, that's when we get, you know, we're really missing out on that. And we go into our shells and we hibernate and, you know, all of that and struggle to get out of bed. So, you know, it all kind of all ties into gratitude and all that stuff, which a lot of people talk about, but it really does make a difference to seek those pockets of joy.
Yeah. So, Lindsay, of course, in the show notes, I will link your Instagram. Is that the best way for people to find you, to reach out? Because I know a lot of women are going to really resonate with this conversation.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram way too much. So you can definitely find me there, or lindseyhyatt.com, just to learn a little bit more about me. And I would love to meet anyone from your audience. That would be wonderful.
Well, thank you for this really impactful conversation. I think that the concept, when someone thinks, oh, reprogramming their life, that it is a complete overhaul immediately, this big undertaking, but you have really broken it down into bite-sized pieces that are very attainable, I think, for anyone listening. So thank you for taking the time to have this conversation today.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a wonderful time.
Thank you for listening to Flip the Script, a mental health podcast. I'm your host, Jana Cohn. If you'd like to talk with me one-on-one, I have private sessions available now to book in the show notes. And please, if this episode spoke to you in any way and you want to join me in flipping the script on mental health issues, the best thing you can do is leave a review on whatever platform you're listening from. Or take a screenshot of this episode, tag me, and share to your social media. I'd also love to connect with you in the DMs on Instagram at jana.cohn. In the show notes, you can subscribe to my email list and never miss an episode. I'll see you here next time on Flip the Script.